Amen. I hope that that is the cry of your heart, that we would somehow wrestle ourselves to the ground to get out of the way and let God do what he needs in us. Amen. This next song, King of My Heart, is just one that the words always bless me. I love it. It's kind of repetitive. If you don't like repetitive songs, that's okay. I want you to catch the anthem in the heart in which they repeat. It's this truth that you're never going to let me down. And that's been true. That's the story that God has given me, that he always comes through in time and he never lets me down. And so I hope that's true of you today. Let's sing King of My Heart. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're Amen. Well, one of the practices and disciplines that I try to do every day is to count my blessings that God has given me. And, you know, it's amazing how when we focus on him, how our cares fade away and melt away. And we've certainly got many, many reasons to give thanks to the Lord. I pray that you would make a habit of counting your blessings. This is called 10,000 Reasons, and let's bless him today.
Oh,
Well, this is a newer song that we've been doing, but I love this songwriter, and Allison and I listen to him often. His name is Zach Williams, and just has a way of writing that really is it really testifies. It really tells the story that God has given him. And this is a song that he wrote with Dolly Parton called There Was Jesus. And I want to remind you, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, there was always that day of discovery when you became a Christian. You know, in hindsight, I think back to all of the dangers that I was putting myself into before I found my Savior. And all along the way, I can see how Jesus was there for me, and how he was hoping for me, and how he was protecting me, and how he was holding me, even when I didn't want to be held. And so I'm grateful for the history that I have with the Lord, even before I recognized it and received it. But I want you to know that Jesus is going to be there for you every step of the way. Let's sing this beautiful song out.
Every minute, every moment. Yeah, so what did we cover last week that led so well into what I was thinking about? We talked about this idea that really stood out to me, and it was this idea of being able to find counterfeits and identify them. Talking especially about, you know, the Word of God, and when people are, you know, trying to sway you one way or the other, or the world's trying to tell you one thing, how do we know the counterfeit? And he kind of shared that with us. You know, the best way to know a counterfeit is to know the what? The original, the authentic, the truth. Yeah, that's what we go off of. It's like the money, when he was talking about it, it's this idea that they don't look for every tiny detail in every counterfeit that's ever made. They just know the authentic so well that if a counterfeit were to arise, they would see the trouble. And so in the same way, that fits so well into what I wanted to talk about, because I'm sort of going into the same thing when it comes to hearing God. And one of the cool quotes that he shared, Louis Giglio, said, "Those who hear God's voice best are the people who know his word most." And again, I just thought that was so perfect for what I wanted to go into. And so this week, I want to continue along with some of those thoughts as we talk about hearing God through his word, right? Hearing God through his word. Now, I told you last time we talked that I'd be entering into this story, the practical approach to hearing God, right? And you know, because I know, I think some people are a little bit frustrated because I start talking about how are we going to hear God? This is the series we're going to do. And then I spent the whole sermon talking about how not to hear him. And people are probably like, well, I know how to do that. Like, get to how do I hear God better? And so this week we are going to get into that practical approach a little bit more. And simply put, hearing God is going to occur far more organically if you have scriptures and their meanings hidden away in your heart. That, of course, coming from David's writing in Psalm 119, I think. Yeah, 119. And it's like we said last time, like, the very nature of God has to become a part of us in order for us to understand him and obey him, right? Now, I know naturally, I hope this isn't where your mind's going, because obviously we're going to talk about learning to study the word. I hope your mind is not going, oh, please, not another you should read your Bible more often sermon, right? Like, because I'll be honest with you, I think I've preached those sermons. I know you guys have heard those sermons before, right? But I want you to bear with me on this topic, because we're going to go so deep. It's going to be about more than just, like, read your Bible. It's how do you utilize this tool to be able to hear God more, right? Because if you're anything like me, you'll agree that the Bible is, at times, hard to understand, right? It's a tough book to read, and it's a tough book to memorize. I won't pick anyone out, but, like, I'd love for you to put your hand up if you ever have or currently do have a hard time reading your Bible. You know, it's all, even if you've conquered it, I'd love to put your hand up, just make everyone feel, like, this is a common thing, and that's okay. It's okay. It's tough to do. It's tough to memorize. There's so many things to try and remember while you're reading, and it's hard to focus and stuff like that. And so where do we start? Well, for starters, we have to be able to recognize the divinity of the Bible itself. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before, divinity, right? If you're new to church or anything like that, that might be a strange word or a new one. The divinity of the Bible, how do we know that the Bible is divine? Because of how linear and how many prophecies were fulfilled in it. Because what is the Bible? The Bible is a ton of different manuscripts that were taken over hundreds of years, written by numerous different authors, all across, you know, Europe, I guess, Middle East, written and put together, and it makes a perfect line. The story starts beginning to end, God's love story of how to redeem humanity after we fall. How on earth could that go in such a straight line if it wasn't divine? If God didn't divinely place these thoughts in these people's heads as they wrote. Not to mention the prophecy. It's like hundreds of years before Jesus is born, where he's prophesied about, and then every single thing that's ever said about him comes true. We need to recognize how divine the Bible actually is. It's not just a book, right? It's like we gain a lot by acknowledging the awesomeness of the Bible. It's like I've read some pretty wonderful books lately, because I have not always liked reading, right? Reading has not always been something that I love to do, but we're able to take a ton of really cool knowledge and insights from a lot of different books And that's awesome, but in the end, those books are just people's opinion and their perspective. The really cool thing about the Bible is like we're getting to see God's perspective. We're getting to see God's opinion on how the world should work and what his design was and all these things, right? And so when we read the Bible, that's what we're getting to see. I thought of it a little bit like a puzzle in this way. Why is the Bible so important for us to hold close to us and to have, what does it say, in our heart? To hide it in our heart. Why is that so important? I think of it kind of like a puzzle in a way. I think, Henry, you posted a picture of Linda. She finished her puzzle there this week. It sparked something in my mind, man. You shared that. And I thought about it a little bit. And I was like, this really is kind of like a puzzle. Like, what do we do when we're trying to do a puzzle? When we dump all 1,000 or, I don't know, how big was hers? 2,000 pieces. So you dump all those pieces out on the table. And then you start. What do you have? Usually you'll flip over all the little pieces. And then you'll have the cover to go off of. What happens without the cover? What happens if you don't flip the pieces over? It's like, it's made extremely hard if you don't take those steps, right? And so that's kind of how I thought about it a little bit. What happens? Obviously, we get frustrated. You know, it's going to be real hard to put a puzzle together if you don't have all the pieces flipped over, for one. Like, really tricky. But then even if you have all the pieces flipped over, if you don't know what you're trying to work towards, oh my goodness. I mean, maybe eventually you'll get it done. Maybe. Man, that'd make it a lot harder. But that's the thing, like, without the cover, without knowing what we're doing, it's tricky. And it's kind of like in the same way with reading the Bible or having the Bible as that tool to help us. It's possible we might get by without it, just like we might do with a puzzle without the cover. What makes me say that? Because Jesus said in John 14, 15 to 17, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, right? The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So it's not like God is only made known to us through Scripture. You think of all the tribes in the middle of nowhere. It's like God works through his Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. He'll make his presence known. But man, it's a whole lot easier to put the puzzle together if you got the cover. If you got the instruction manual. You know what you're working towards. And so the Bible, if it's so divine and it's so useful, why don't we utilize it more? Right? God doesn't want to hide or make understanding him hard for us. Goodness, he gave us the manual to do that. It really is as simple as learning to read and interpret your Bible. You'll be amazed at how often you'll hear God when you study Scripture and apply his word to your life. Because like not only will you hear him while you're reading his word, but that stuff's going to come back within the context of your life on a regular basis. Like if you're dealing with something and you've hidden his word in your heart, he's going to speak to you. He's going to be able to speak to you through what the Bible's already told you. Right? I got to remember to hold my mic up. I get into it and I don't remember. But it's just like Paul said. It's like the word is living. Scripture on loving your enemies may not speak to you every single day, but it sure will when you're faced with an enemy who's caused you a great deal of physical or emotional pain or someone who wants to hurt you, okay? That's when those scriptures are really going to resonate with you and you're going to be some glad that you've hidden them in your heart because they keep you from doing something stupid, right? And it's just going to help you get through those times. God's voice will be much clearer when we have his word hidden in us at all times. Now, maybe you're here today and this is your downfall. You're like, man, I really hope he actually talks about how to study the Bible because I have a hard time studying the Bible. We all kind of admitted that at the start. It's a tricky thing to do, right? So maybe that's your downfall. Maybe that's your weakness, sitting down and reading your Bible. Maybe you read, and because you don't understand, you zone out for entire paragraphs. And I hadn't written this down, but I thought of it while I was doing first service there, and it was kind of funny, this idea of like zoning out while you're reading paragraphs. I just finished a psychology course through my schooling and stuff like that. And man, they were telling us all these neat little psychological tricks and things about our brain that just really interesting to me because a lot of it you can put right to the test, right? And so I'm getting ready to respond to this discussion question. And in the discussion question, they talk about your consciousness. And they talk about how when you're doing something, it's easy to focus on it, but it's really hard for us to focus on two things at once, because you either got to be switching back and forth really quick, your mind's got to be good at that, or your subconscious has to be taking care of it while your full consciousness is focused on the other thing. Does that make sense a little bit? A little bit? Anyway, I was thinking about that, and they were like, can't focus on two things. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm reading this, and then I think about the fact, okay, well, I'm doing two things at once, so I'm sitting here, and I'm reading, and I know what I'm reading, and I'm eating this granola bar, and I was like, oh, no, the granola bar, that's in my subconscious. I don't have to think about eating a granola bar. It's really natural. Like, I just sit here, and I eat the granola bar, and I read. Meanwhile, as I'm thinking about this, I'm reading the next paragraph. Guess what? I don't know what I read, right? It's like, oh, so I used my consciousness to focus on the granola bar, and so now I have no idea what I just read. And so I'm thinking about this as I try and read the paragraph again, and I miss it again. And I'm like, oh, this consciousness thing's really annoying. Like, it's kind of frustrating that I cannot took me a long time to read the paragraph, long story short, right? And so anyway, maybe that's how you are with Scripture. Maybe you have a hard time zoning in and focusing on what you're reading. Maybe you're able to do that. Maybe you can focus, but then you don't understand what you're reading. And so this next part that I want to go over, this is for you, right? I think this is something really important that you can hold on to as you move forward. When it comes to the Bible, don't read it, study it. You need to do more than just read your Bible. You can't just go at night and say, my goal is to read through this chapter and get it done. We got to study it. Doesn't matter if it takes you a whole month to get through a chapter. Study it. Dig in. That's how you're going to retain stuff. Study your Bible. And I know that might sound simple. That's why we have Bible studies and stuff. But study your Bible. Identify reputable and reliable resources to help you study. Like, I was telling First Service, too, one of the ones that me and Andrew like to use is called Blue Letter Bible. It's this website that you're able to go to, no matter what translation of Bible you're reading, rather than have to worry, do I have the right translation of Bible, you can go to this website, put the verse in, and they'll give you the original language. And they'll translate using Strong's Concordance. It's like using a Strong's, right? They'll translate using that to get the actual translation from the original text. Blue Letter Bible. It's a great study tool, right? It's amazing when you're trying to dig into some of those tricky verses to understand, right? And so I'll tell you, like, you got to do more than just read. Like, I do a whole lot better on my courses and in school when I actually learn to understand the content rather than just read or memorize it or to put it on a test. Like, I do really well when I understand it. And the same is going to go for studying your Bible. You're going to do a whole lot better if you understand what you're reading. So it's about applying the tools to learn to understand your Bible. Like I said, websites like that are really, really great. Learn to understand context. Learn to interpret the words. Well, Kirtland, how do I do that? I think I'll share a couple that really help with studying the Bible. One of the really neat things to apply when you're studying is take the lens off. Whatever your lens is that you're reading the Bible through, you're going to do a whole lot better if you're objective with your reading and your study, right? Like, don't have an agenda going in. Like, maybe you read the Bible through the salvation lens. God saved me, and so I read everything with that as my foundation. Again, that could be cool. That could be useful. But you're going to learn a lot more if you're objective. Maybe you have a preconceived way of thinking that you want confirmed through the Bible. You have some thoughts, some ideas about your theology that you're looking to confirm. Well, you're going to draw a lot closer to those scriptures, and you're going to try and interpret them with that mindset. And so you read with a confirm my theology lens. Or maybe you want to put the blinders on to all the suffering that the Bible talks about, and you want to seek out the blessings. And so you read through the make my life awesome lens. You know what I mean? It's going to help us a lot if we take some of those lenses off and look at the word for what it is. Because although some of those can be useful, and they can really lift you up and encourage you, if you use some of those lenses, we get the most out of the Bible when we remove the lens and we study the Bible for what it says rather than how it makes us feel. Okay? That's going to be a really neat tip for that, okay? Get into the content itself. Look up different commentaries on scriptures. Like, we live in a time, guys, that I know there was a time, and boy, it would have been tough being a pastor back then, because I think about how they would have had to prepare for sermons, and whenever they thought of a verse, like, oh, I should throw that in there. Oh my goodness, there was no Google to just say, hey, where's this verse? They had to manually go and find this verse and then put it in there, and I'm like, oh, I'm so spoiled, right? You guys have the same resources. We have Google. Man, if you can think, oh, I heard this verse, I know it says something along these lines, just Google scripture on something along those lines, whatever you're thinking. It's really easy to utilize these tools. Look up commentaries. Read what other people have had to say about these scriptures, right? Are you going to be able to trust all of them? No. But compare that with your scriptures. Talk to someone that you trust. Bounce ideas off people. Study. Study. Look it up. Figure out what your belief system is, how your theology works, and what you think about different verses, right? It's all you got to do is just Google your scripture and dive deep, deep, deep into it. Do research. Put in the work. Study to the best of your ability. And like I said, if you're studying, people usually are going to be glad to help you if you have questions, if you're putting in the work. Like my buddy taught me this as I was getting into ministry. He said one of the things he does, and now I've started doing it with teens, with youth, when they ask me a really deep and heavy question, that, you know, it's up to interpretation. Sometimes I'll tell them to go research their question and then come back to me with what they find. I'll do the same, and we'll come back and exchange ideas. We'll see what we think. Like, pastors aren't the only ones who are supposed to be called to learn to study and learn about their Bible. We all are. That's something we're all called to do, right? And so when you're reading your Bible, do stuff like that. Google who the author is. Figure out who wrote this book that you're reading, the book of the Bible, right? Learn about them. Who were they writing to? Where were those people from? What was their background and culture? Right? Where was the author from? What was his life like, right? What was the political setup at that time? Was there oppression? Were they living under people? Were they ruling? You know, figure that stuff out, and that's gonna give you a lot of insight behind what you're reading. It's gonna tell you a lot. What is the context of the scripture? Context. Context. It's so important when we're studying the Bible. What is context? The circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. Now, I know, that's a lot of words that don't seem like they should belong together. And so, at least, when I first read that, I was like, I gotta do that again. The circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. To read scripture for its words alone, without context, will potentially do worse than get you nowhere. It could mislead you. How? Because, you might cringe a little when I say this, because it's one of them statements that's like, I don't know if I agree. Think about it, though. The Bible was not written to you. It was written for you. Okay? We like to think it was written to us specifically, but it wasn't. All the manuscripts in the Bible were not written to you, although they are for you. Because God's word's timeless. Right? Books of the Old Testament, they were written at a time where societies functioned very differently than they do today. That's why we see some stuff that makes us a little uncomfortable, because we don't live in that world. It wasn't written to us, but we can learn stuff from it. It's for us. Jesus was preaching to first century Jews for the most part. And that's why he talked about oppression, farming, livestock, fishing, all these different things. He didn't talk about smart cars and cell phones. It's like, because it wasn't written to us, it was written for us. We can learn stuff from it. Paul, think of his letters. They were written to different groups of Christians who were living in many parts of the Middle East. And he traveled. He went around. Modern day Europe, he wrote to people there too, all living under different circumstances, different people, different cultures, different churches, different levels of status and political affiliation. That should all be taken into account if we want to get the most out of the Bible. We got to take it into account when we make assumptions about how to properly interpret Scripture. And again, I know this is heavy and maybe it sounds like a lot of work to read your Bible, but like, no one's rushing you to get through any amount of the Bible in a certain amount of time. You're going to do a whole lot better for yourself if you learn what it's actually saying than just saying, yeah, I read that whole chapter the other night. You know what I mean? The Bible was definitely absolutely written for you and I, but we as 21st century Canadians, we weren't the original recipients. And that's so important to recognize. And people get uncomfortable when they feel that Scripture is contradicting itself or it's saying something that does not seem okay by today's standards. The reality is that it simply takes a little bit of effort on our part to study the context of the Scripture. I hope I'm not beating that like a dead horse, but my goodness, that's so important when you're reading the Bible. Hearing God through His Word means working to understand His Word. It's a big part of hearing God. It's easy for someone to argue their narrative with Scripture if we don't understand Scripture. And it's easy for us to think that God, maybe God's trying to speak to me through this person. It's easy for us to be deceived in that way if we don't understand our Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There are people who have led Christians astray into a life of sin with verses like this. You know, once you're saved, nothing's going to keep you from heaven. There's no need to be especially kind to anyone if you want to get into heaven. It doesn't talk about any of that. Actually, it does in the next verse. It's just, like, we need to know our Scripture enough to know that. Because you go on to verse 10, and it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." Got to know that stuff so you're not misled by people when they try and convince you of their narrative using Scripture. It's terrifying. That's why we study. How about women in ministry? I know that's a touchy one. Entire denominations will allow a woman to participate in any teaching ministries within the church, like missions, Sunday school, worship, outreach, but they will not allow them to be a senior pastor or a pastor in a lot of cases in general, essentially based on 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 1 Timothy 2:11 to 12. Let me read 1 Timothy because this is the big one. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Bible says so, so it must be true. You know what I mean? Know your context. I don't want to dive too far into this, but I will say to the churches who only choose to keep women from being senior pastors, I don't understand that. Senior pastors weren't even a thing in first century Ephesus where Timothy was teaching. So where do we get that? I don't know. I guess we made it up along the way. What about this? Those times a boy became a man at 13 years of age. Well, that kind of contradicts our idea that women can do Sunday school. Can't teach a 13-year-old man. Oh, we want to change it because of our... Okay, cool. And how is a woman allowed to teach and assume authority over men in other countries through missions and outreach? Shouldn't be allowed, not according to the Bible. So then some of these churches and some of these people will say, okay, well, maybe women shouldn't be in ministry at all. All right, I'm glad you've gone there because now you're ignoring all of the women appointed by Jesus. You're ignoring all the women who led over men in the Old Testament appointed by God. You're ignoring all the women that Paul, in the New Testament, he endorses them and he thanks them for their position as leaders and deacons within the church. So now we're ignoring those scriptures. This is so important. I really want you to hear this because I love this thought. I really do. Text that are contextual or could have a double meaning should be interpreted in light of texts that are extremely clear. Texts that could be contextual or have a double meaning need to be interpreted in light of texts that are very, very clear for us to understand. That, because we all know there's people out there who live a certain way based off one verse. This verse says that. Well, what about all the other verses? Yeah, but this verse says this. We need to study the Word. We need to study the Word of God. I say all this again just to say study the Bible. Learn its context. Learn which things directly or indirectly apply to your life. Again, like entire denominations, it blows my mind. We have all this division all because of a lack of study of context. When it comes to hearing God, the Bible, is the measure of all of God's speech to us. Okay, so if you're sitting here and you're listening to me today and you're saying, I thought we were going to be talking about, you know, learning to hear God. You're sitting here talking about how to read your Bible. The Bible is the measure of all of God's speech to you. This is so important because I haven't been in ministry especially long, and yet this is a principle that I've had to apply when talking to a lot of people. God will not tell you to do something that he's already said is wrong in his word. God is not. How many of you have ever seen someone try and do that? Try and say, I can do this because, well, God said I could. God's telling me that I should be doing this. And it's totally contradicting everything that God stands for in the Bible. It's totally contradicting his nature. It's like if a kid is going wild in their teen years with liquor and or drugs because God wants them to enjoy their youth. It's like, where's that verse? You know what I mean? Why would God want you to ever indulge in something that hurts you and that goes against what's best for you? It's someone committing adultery. God wants me to be happy, so I've been over here. Doesn't sound like anything God would be okay with. Doesn't sound like something that God would say. In fact, Hebrews 13:4 says, you know, that marriage is to be held in the highest honor, and that the bed of marriage should never be defiled. Sounds to me like God values marriage. Maybe it's a believer saying that they want to date or marry a non-Christian. And again, you do with these what you want. I'm never going to judge anybody. All I can do is look at what the text says. Because I've heard people say stuff like, I can change them. I can still practice my faith. We would still get along. So-and-so did it, and they're fine. All right. All I know is 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Like, Andrew's talking a little bit about this idea of yoking with the proper thing, and that's Christ. So why on earth would you try and yoke yourself with something that opposes Christ? Oh, my goodness. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Why? For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? It's only going to help you in the end. It's not like God's word is there to sit here and shackle you up with rules. It's going to help you. Again, when we talk about being able to hear God, we need to be really careful not to mistake his voice with the voice that sneaks in and is looking to destroy us. Because that voice is very, very present at very, very inconvenient times. It really is. What's the best way to keep it from happening? What's the best way to fall into the trap of hearing the wrong voice? Know the Bible enough to rebuke evil when it disguises itself as good. Because some of you will know this very well from experience. And for some of you, let this be a little bit of a wake-up call. If you haven't run into it, there's going to be a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing in your life. And they're going to make things look good, and they're going to make it sound right. And this is what's going to lead me into my last point that I want to talk about today, is that we can conclude many things through Scripture and thus dismiss evil or deceiving thoughts. That's what the Bible's going to help us with. That's how God's going to speak to us. A.W. Tozer had this really cool quote, and he said, the devil is a better theologian than any of us and is a devil himself. He knows. He knows the Word. He knows God. You know what I mean? This idea, know the Bible enough to rebuke evil when it disguises itself as good. I think of the actual scripture that we have that talks about the devil going into the wilderness and tempting Christ. You know that story? A little bit anyway. I think of that story because the devil really did everything he could do to sound as convincing as possible. What do you mean, Kirtland? Quoted scripture. Quoted scripture. How much more convincing does someone who's trying to deceive you have to be than to quote scripture? Why do we have to know context? Matthew 4:6-7, Satan goes to Jesus and he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down off this cliff, for it is written, quotes the Psalms, he will command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, Jesus, knew the nature of God. Granted, you know, he kind of cheated because he sort of was God. Jesus knew God's nature. Jesus knew how to respond, and Jesus knew the contextual scripture to use. And so what does he say? It is also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Satan knew who Jesus was. Satan knew what Jesus' mission was. And Satan knew that his best chance at foiling that was to use his own weapon against him, kind of thing. You're going to run into people who try and do that. Satan quotes Psalm 91 in order to try and paint Jesus into a corner, but Jesus had a scriptural response that exemplified the true nature of God. I know people, and it hurts me to know these people. I know people who can quote many pieces of scripture off their memory alone. They don't look anything like Jesus. That's why we need to study our word. I don't know how to make it any more clear. It's like this life is hard enough on its own. There's going to be people out there trying to destroy you, trying to lead you astray. We got to know the word. As Beth said in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't just read. Don't just memorize. It's like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Doesn't matter what you hear from what's-his-face over there trying to convince you to do something. Because you're going to know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's the point. God longs to communicate with us. And many, many times you're going to find that he uses his word to speak to us. That's why this sermon today is necessary if we want to talk about hearing God. He speaks to us through his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this topic today. It's tough, and I guess I want to pray for patience, really. You know, it's kind of like what I prayed for last time when I did this, because there's going to be somebody here who likely is going to take this first step into saying, you know what, I want to learn to study the word more. Maybe God's been trying to speak to me all along, and I don't know how to recognize his voice because I don't know him. God, I pray that you would give us the encouragement we need to not just be thinking that now, but to take that home with us, to take that through our week and to chase it, to learn to study you, to ask questions, to do research, to want to learn. God, I know, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I get to do this job as pastor, and I get to study scripture all the time, and I still feel like I haven't scratched the tip of the iceberg. It's so deep. It's so vast. But every moment that I spend learning more about you is never a moment wasted. So I'm praying for patience for us as we learn to study your word, as we strive to get closer and closer with you, kind of like how Andrew said it last week, so that we would know the counterfeits, because we know the authentic. So God, I pray your blessing on us as we go with these ideas in mind, and I'm thanking you for everything you do for us and everything you are in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. Amen.